This morning we continue the narration from the fourth canto, 30th chapter, the activities of the Prachetas. And this verse today is continuation of their ecstatic prayers to the Supreme Lord, and it's text 31. And first I'll do the word-by-word translation and then the verse. Varam. Benediction. Rini Mahi. We shall pray for. Ta Api. Therefore. Nata. O Lord. Twat. From you. Parata Parat. Beyond the transcendence. Na. Not. He. Certainly. Anta, end. Twat, your. Vibhutinam, of opulences. Sa, you. Ananta, unlimited. Iti, thus. Giyase, are celebrated. Srila Prabhupada's translation. My dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction, because you are beyond all transcendence, and because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Oh, I can't hear either. I happen to be deaf. Do you hear now? Okay. Should I repeat this? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction, because you are the Supreme, beyond all transcendence, and because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There was no need for the Prachetas to ask for any benediction from the Supreme Lord, because devotees are simply satisfied by the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj practiced severe austerities and penances to see the Supreme Lord, and his intention was to receive benediction from the Lord. He wanted to acquire the throne of his father or attain an even better position. But when he was actually in the presence of the Supreme Lord, he forgot everything. He said, "My dear Lord, I do not wish to ask for any benediction." This is the actual position of the devotee. The devotee simply wants to be in the presence of the Supreme Lord, either in this world or in the next, and engage in his service. This is the ultimate goal and benediction for the devotees. The Lord asked the Prachetas to pray for some benediction, and they said, "What kind of benediction should we pray for? The Lord is unlimited, and there are unlimited benedictions." The purport is that if one must ask for benediction, he must ask for unlimited benediction. The word Tvatparata are very insignificant in this verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Parata, Parat. The word para means transcendental, beyond this material world. The impersonal Brahman effulgence is beyond the material world, and this is called Param Padam. Ahulya Krishna Param Padam. Bhagavatam 10:2-32. Merging into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord is called Param Padam. But there is a higher transcendental position, which is the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmeti Paramatiti Bhagavan iti sabjite. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2-11. The Absolute Truth is realized first as impersonal Brahman, then as Paramatma, and finally as Bhagavan. Thus, the Personality of Godhead Bhagavan is Parata Parat, beyond Brahman and Paramatma realization. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Parata Parat means better than the best. The best is the spiritual world, and it is known as Brahman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is known as Parat Brahman. And therefore, Paratat Parat means better than Brahman realization. As will be explained in the next verses, the Prachetas planned to ask the Lord for something that had no limit. The Lord's pastimes, qualities, forms, and names are all unlimited. There's no limit to his name, forms, pastimes, creations, and paraphernalia. The living entity cannot conceive of the unlimitedness of the unlimited. However, if living entities are engaged in hearing about the unlimited potencies of the Supreme Lord, they are factually connected to the unlimited. Such understanding of the unlimited becomes unlimited by hearing and chanting. Okay, please repeat. Dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction, because you are the Supreme, beyond all transcendence, and because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. Timurandasya Yanana Sakalaya Chaktu Milita. Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gorbhakta Vrinda Vansakalpa Tirubhyasa Vipassyandu Vyayivyata Patitanam Melanne Vindyo Vaisnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thanking you for allowing me to be here with all of you in Vrindavan Dham. I sometimes reside in New Vrindavan Dham, which Prabhupada explains in a purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Vrindavan, the Adi Vrindavan, where we are now. And one of the significantly visible differences is the wonderful large number of devotees that congregate in Sri Vrindavan Dham, Adi Vrindavan. The main culture shock when I go back to the West is the less number of devotees when you go to the temples. So I see that this is one of the opulences of Vrindavan Dham. It's a profuse number of devotees. And the very, just like any wonderfully planned garden of multi varieties of flowers, we have devotees from all over the world here whose beautiful faces are reflecting the beauty of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram, and Gaur Nithai. In this segment about the Prachetas, in one of the purports, and again in this purport, it's mentioned that the pure devotees are directly transferred to Vaikuntha Loka. It's described as param, so above the material, param. And by coming together to hear and to chant, we are param, above the material. That is, to come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. If we're hearing and chanting something else, it wouldn't be the same. And Prabhupada pointed out that if one, Jai Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, Sri Sri Radhe Shyam, Avita Pishaka, Pinjai, that if one repeats the prayers that are chanted by great devotees, such as Lord Shiva, one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Also, the beautiful prayers and deep and extraordinary prayers that we chant every morning at greeting of the deities, we are simply repeating the glorification of Lord Brahma to the Supreme Lord. But the Prachetas were glorifying the Lord, not in their own words, but chanting the song of Lord Shiva. And they did so for 10,000 years underwater. So Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport about this point, 10,000 years underwater, this austerity. He goes, this does not seem like a happy endeavor. But actually, he says, for the students of spiritual life, undergoing such austerities to attain the Lord's perfect, to attain the Lord's favor. Said when that happens, the devotees forget all about the austerities. They forget all about the hard labor. They don't even remember it. Or if they do remember it, it's in a very affectionate way, with fondness. You can have like the analogy of a mother giving birth. For the ladies who have given birth, you know what a trip, what pain, what agony. You know, you're thinking, I'll never do this again. And then out comes this beautiful little baby. I mean, only to the mother it's so beautiful, really, because it's all covered with blood and it's all smooshed up. And it's, I mean, if you've ever seen a baby come out, they don't look so beautiful initially, but immediately the mother's heart is filled with love, forgets about everything. Like 3 seconds ago she was crying pitifully, stop it, stop, and suddenly just filled with love. In the same way, the devotees work so hard to achieve the favor of the Lord, to just see him somehow or other. And all that endeavor is forgotten upon seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. And similarly, as disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and I'm sure as grand disciples of his students who have become gurus, when we were waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come, there would be a literal frenzy of getting ready for Prabhupada. You know, the mantra was not Hare Krishna. I mean, that was there. But the mantra was, the predominant mantra was, Prabhupada is coming. And pulling out all stops, you know, just everything was cleaned. And, you know, it was Gundicha Mandir time, cleaned and cleaned again.
staying up all night just to make sure there was perfection or something close to it, which would of course result in everybody falling asleep the next day. But but Prabhupada would come. And during this period, every devotee was thinking in their mind, when Prabhupada gets here, I'm going to tell him this or that, because in the ordinary dealings of life with the devotees, sometimes you can say mildly, a little friction, there would be some quarrels, there would be some headbutting, there would be some problems that were beyond our control. You know, this wasn't going right, that wasn't going right. When Prabhupada comes, I'm going to tell him. Prabhupada would come and just burst the bubble. And everybody would just be bathed in this immense purity of Prabhupada's presence. And there would be kirtan, and people were just chanting from the depth of their heart. And then Prabhupada would look at everybody and he would say, is everything all right? Jai Srila Prabhupada. You know, nobody could even remember there was ever any problem. You know. But this is a wonderful effect of the Supreme Lord and his pure devotees. So, just as the sacrifices to please the Supreme Personality of Godhood were rewarded by his smile, and all the hardships were forgotten, you know. And then Prabhupada points out that these type of austerities, 10,000 years underwater, let's try 5 minutes underwater. it's not for the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. You know, we don't even have 1,000 years. Even if we have 100 years, if you break it down, the first few years you're just this little yucky kid, baby, who can't even do anything yourself. Then you're a little kid trying to learn to walk, and then you're trying to learn to talk, and then, you know, then you're trying to, you know, become a young man or a young woman, make your way in the world, and just, and then, you know, and you're enjoying, and then suddenly something called middle age starts happening, and you notice things like gray hair, creaky bones, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And, you know, Prabhupada was speaking to some devotees, saying, you know, nobody wants to get old, and we're trying to avoid it. He started laughing. He said, you know, they're using this cosmetic, that's cosmetic, and he used the word lipstick. He goes, no matter what you do, the skin is getting flabby. You know, it's going to happen. So we don't have time for any elaborate austerity. We don't even have the ability. But the Lord is so kind that he has come in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's given us the Yuga Dharma, that in this day and age, any fallen conditioned soul can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But then Mahaprabhu points out that we are so unfortunate. You were given this amazing gift, the Yuga Dharma. Anyone can chant without qualification, and we are so unfortunate. We have no attraction. You know, trying to chant rounds. Okay, well, wait a minute. I have just a couple more minutes. Let me just check my email. Let me just, you know, gotta chant my rounds. Let me just, you know, we keep allowing distractions to divert us. So it's like a man, you know, we find ways to avoid what? Taking our medicine. The Prabhupada said, I have only brought one medicine, please take it. And we become like this man overboard. Guys, you know, you're just drowning, you fell overboard, and somebody throws you a rope. Goes, oh, plastic rope. No, no, only cotton. Somebody throws him a cotton rope. Is it organic cotton? You know, it's like, you know, we find ways to just put it off. One of the lessons we learned from the Prachetas is that they were united in their Krishna consciousness. united in purpose. And that purpose, that unity, was to please the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada points out, each one was an individual soul. So there was, you know, what? There was 100 of them, 100 little individual souls all together. And there was unity, because their common goal, their orientation, was to please the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada said, this is real unity. That in the material world, they are diverse. There is diverse ambitions. And this diverse ambition creates friction. It creates disunity. And in the purport, he even pointed out that this is happening in ISKCON, where we have the one common goal and purpose, but we become distracted by material ambitions that are separated from the common goal. And I mean, myself, I had the wonderful experience of knowing what it was to have unity, even if there were different personal situations or distractions. And that was when we went to London, 6 devotees and a newborn baby, without any money, without any credit cards, without even the name of anybody to contact when we landed. And somehow or other, we were always so single-mindedly together, even when there was like great impositions personally and otherwise set upon us. We were separated, you know, living in really unpleasant situations at one point. Jamuna was remembering she had to live in the top building of a Jamaican ghetto. I mean, ghetto is never a nice place, and Jamaican ghetto in London is even worse. So she was just listening to the only tape she had of Srila Prabhupada, reel to reel, that had been recorded in Los Angeles. And Prabhupada was chanting Hari Hari Bifale and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. She would listen over and over. She'd say, please come, please come. And we were all just waiting for Prabhupada, but we knew how could we invite him unless we actually had a place to invite him to. So we were so focused and so determined on this single point. It didn't matter what our personal inconvenience was, we put it aside. It didn't matter that we had no money, we put it aside. It didn't matter that there were so many obstacles, we put it aside. And I started remembering, I can't even remember when there was a time when there was any harsh words spoken between us. We could have lively disagreements, but we would come to a conclusion, because then we would just say, bottom line, is this what we should do for Prabhupada? Will this get us closer to the goal? Will we, you know, will this bring us temple? Will it bring Prabhupada here? And if it couldn't do that, we just put it aside. So that was a very wonderful experience to have, and to see that by that experience, there was a result, that we got a building, and Srila Prabhupada came, and he blessed us with his presence, you know. And we couldn't think of anything more than just having them there and doing more and more for him. Actually, Prabhupada put in the purport, actually in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There's only one goal, and that is to serve Krishna to one's best ability. So when I was reading that, I was thinking how sometimes we like to quantify things, and we want to, we want to give some grading, you know, like the teacher will take the paper, A, B, C, D, you know. But we want to grade. Oh, this person, this much, that much, you know. But actually, when one is to their best ability, who can judge you? Only Krishna. And we have the example of that little spider, you know, trying to drink up the ocean. We have the example of little devotees trying, when Ramchandra was building the bridge, you know, bringing little pebbles, You know, the monkeys were laughing. What are you going to do with those little pebbles? You know, didn't matter. The intent, that is what counts. The best of one's ability, that is what counts. And for the rest of us, we should just be happy to encourage the other. Because if they're not quite to their best ability, the encouragement will bring them up. And if someone is already at their best ability by being encouraged, they will even go further. And we had that experience continually with Srila Prabhupada. We thought at times we'd come to our limit. And then, by a simple encouragement, suddenly we were going to another level and going further and further into devotional service. Actually, that's what they call empowerment. That's a big word nowadays, empowerment. Srila Prabhupada was a fantastic empowerer. I don't know if there is such a word. But he empowered his disciples simply by suggesting something. Can you do this? Simply by asking, can you do this? You know, immediately, whether or not the person could do it, had ever done it before, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And because of that willingness to accept the order and the instruction of the pure devotee, they found themselves doing amazing things. If you go to Srila Prabhupada's palace in New Vrindavan, it's an amazing place. And more amazing than all the intricate marble work and all the intricate stained glass work, which was all done by devotees. Beautiful chandeliers, world-class chandeliers. They call this Prabhupada's palace the Taj Mahal of America. But one of the amazing things is that not one of the devotees who was engaged in creating the palace had any experience in any of the different aspects that they were engaged in. They went to libraries because there weren't computers in those days, and they got a hard copy book, how to do stained glass, how to cut marble, how to polish marble, how to make a foundation, how to build a staircase. And then at the back at the temple, we had the supreme how-to book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, how to please the Supreme Lord, how to please the pure devotee. And in this way, with single-pointed attention, simply to please Prabhupada, hoping against hope he would come and live in this glorious palace, which in fact he said he would, although he never did, a wonderful thing was constructed. And all of these wonderful projects in India, here in Sri Vrindavan Dham, what was easy? There was nothing out there. Across the street was just beautiful farmland. There were cows wandering right outside and peacocks. Right here in our land, there would be peacocks sometimes. You have to travel for miles and miles and miles to see a peacock nowadays. I went the other day to Radhakund and I saw only two peacocks. In New Vrindavan, I have 22 peacocks. They're all over the place, you know. But it wasn't without endeavor. When the devotees first came here, camping in little tin huts, wood huts, digging wells that came up with salty water, you know, having to face the severe elements of heat and then cold. But they persevered. Some left. Some did. They couldn't take it. But those who stayed were blessed by the results of pleasing Srila Prabhupada and this wonderful temple that we are all blessed by being able to sit in. Prabhupada points out that actually it's a wonderful statement in one of the, I think it's in the 8th verse in this chapter. It said that two things. One, if there's some agreement, it should be taken as spiritual. If you're a devotee, it should be taken as spiritual. And so that's a nice instruction. And then he points out that making the Lord happy, making the Lord willing by his happiness to award all kinds of benedictions, this is good use of intelligence. That good intelligence means going back home, back to Godhead. So those, we know, Krishna said, those who are constantly devoted to me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. the Chanaka Pandit, or politician person who Srila Prabhupada would often quote, because he had good common sense. Good common sense is allowed to be used. He said, a good tree within the forest or garden, it fills the entire forest or garden with a fragrance. And similarly, a good son makes the entire family famous all over the world. So our good fortune is that we're part of the garden of Srila Prabhupada. And he's that wonderful son, he's that fragrant tree who spread the message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. He called himself, in his first passport, he gave his father's name, Abhaitran Dev. But in a later passport, when it came to the part of who's your father, your father's name, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You know, I think that one may be here. So they received, the Prachetas, they received special facilities to live for millions of years without becoming involved with material frailties and not deviating from devotional practices. We don't have that opportunity here. We don't have millions of years. We don't have time. Therefore, we have really just, it's an urge of the moment. It's a need of the moment to take this Krishna consciousness as given to us by Srila Prabhupada and enthusiastically, with determination, patience, because these three things, Prabhupada said, are necessary for success. He said if even one is missing, there will be failure. So this enthusiasm to practice Krishna consciousness, this determination to practice Krishna consciousness, and the patience to allow Krishna consciousness develop within our hearts. You know, this will ensure that we will go back home and that we'll see the Lord and we'll please Srila Prabhupada. So they had this, Prachetas had this benediction. They wouldn't be deviated by material activities or material attachment. They'd be free of it. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says that if one is so expert that he can engage or dovetail everything in the service of Krishna, of the Lord, that it would be a great blunder to give up everything, to leave the material world aside. So the trick, of course, is to engage everything in the Lord's service and not to keep anything aside for ourselves. And sometimes people think that's a little harsh. We've got to balance our material life and our spiritual life. But we're devotees of the Lord. We don't have a material life. Everything when dedicated to the Lord's service becomes spiritualized. And those of you who have to go to your works, or your schools, or you're a mother or a father, all of these activities become spiritualized when they are offered and dedicated to the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Oh. Prabhupada pointed out, one can chant the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, all day and all night even, without becoming tired. And he said, as you are chanting, the chanting will become newer. We're reminded of Rupa Goswami, who desired millions of tongues and ears, because one tongue, two ears was not enough to appreciate the glories of the holy name. And then Prabhupada said something very interesting. Because many times nowadays, I hear from devotees that I don't feel inspired. You know, it's a complaint I sometimes hear in traveling. I'm not inspired. What can I do? So I read something last night. Srila Prabhupada said that there is nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. Okay, so you're not inspired. Oh God, I'm not very highly advanced because I'm not inspired.
But then you know,
okay, so do something. And what is it we can do? We can serve Krishna simply by chanting his holy names, simply by serving the other devotees. Inspiration isn't going to come and fall like torrents of rain. We have to do something. And when we do something to please the devotees, Krishna is pleased. And then our heart also feels pleased. I was coming from the Russian Sadhu Sangha last week. So I spent 1 week. This is not to be confused with the Ukrainian festival, which was unbelievable. You've probably all heard about how 11,000 to 12,000 devotees came together and spent a week by the Baltic Sea hearing and chanting. You know, we can't even imagine how it is, that, and super organized, you know, everything going smoothly. So a smaller festival with about 3,500 people was the following week in Russia along the Black Sea. It was just called Sadhu Sangha. And it was a wonderful experience how coming together to hear and chant is so unifying and brings such a wonderful mood. Just like Prabhupada said, if you associate with a person who's infected by a disease, you'll get that disease. You can get that disease. If you associate with the devotees and the holy name, you'll become infected by Krishna. So it felt like that. We were getting infected by Krishna. And everybody was serving each other so nicely. As a guest, I was being very nicely served. And all the other sadhus who were there, they were so nicely served. But I was thinking, okay, because we're the guests, we're the speakers, you know, naturally we'll get taken care of. So I was looking to see, how are the devotees relating to each other? Are they serving each other? And that's what I saw, that was the whole mood, to associate, to hear, to chant, and to serve. And it was going on in every corner. Such a nice atmosphere. Such a nice mood. So wherever the devotees come and they glorify the Supreme Lord who's present in the heart of every living entity, it's not that he's more present in the heart of the devotees, but because the devotee is making an endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Lord, there is a reciprocation. And when the Lord sees that the devotee is not only trying to satisfy him, but he's trying to satisfy his devotees, he becomes even more pleased. And the Lord in the heart then gives more pleasure to that devotee. And when there's 3,500 devotees doing the same thing, you can imagine what a beautiful atmosphere it is. We can honestly say, and there was some, we can say, challenges during the time, because apparently in 10 years of this festival, it never once rained. Well, this festival, it rained all but 2 days. And we're not talking sweet little raindrops. We're talking torrents of rains. Big winds that were knocking down tents, taking their, you know, these tents had metal construction, and the metal supports were just crash, bash, smash, falling apart. The two big, huge main tents, they were like secure ships in the storm, but all anything smaller was just smashed, crashed, and dashed apart. And, you know, there was no electric clothes dryers. The electricity would sometimes go out, like we know about that in Vrindavan, you know. So did that stop the bliss? Did that depress the devotees? Not at all. It was like a minor inconvenience. The real deal was coming together to hear and chant. And what I saw was how attentive these devotees were. There would be 6 seminars going on simultaneously. And I would sometimes, I also had one, and I saw, you know, Indradumna Swami, Gopal Krishna Swami, Radhana Swami, who's going to come to Malati Devi Dasi. People came. Everybody would have an audience. And sometimes on a different part of the day, I would go and I would look, and people were so attentive, Nobody was looking at their watch. Nobody had out their cell phone, their thumbs were, they were listening. It was wonderful. And at night we'd come to the big, big tent, you know, everybody together in this wonderful fortress, this beautiful temple where Srila Prabhupada's murti was being lovingly worshipped every morning. And I have to say that was really amazing. 3,500 people, and there was total organization for the Guru Puja. There was no chaos. There was no like human bulldozers coming and knocking you out of the way. It was wonderful. They had all the ladies on one side, the men on the other, and then they had very sweet people who could also be firm, but sweetly firm, to keep everyone flowing. And I was thinking we should try that here sometime. You know, just put this rope right here so that the men and women can have, you know, stay on their little sides, and one side goes down, and then you offer, and then you just walk up. And it was very sweet, and you actually could really, you know, meditate nicely without, on Srila Prabhupada, without worrying about falling over, getting trampled, or, you know, falling into Prabhupada's lap. Anyways, the best benediction, it is said, the best benediction is the association of devotees who hear and chant the pastimes and activities of the Lord. There is really nothing else that attractive. Sometimes we think, if I just had a little more money, I could do this or that. And we saw how even Prabhupada himself had that desire. He wanted to gain wealth. He wanted to earn some money and do something big. But Krishna took all his money away. He took everything away. And Prabhupada said, that is the first benediction for a devotee who's not so advanced. So then, of course, that was like Leela for Prabhupada. Then he was penniless beggar. He said, I came to America with $7. I had nothing. No, I gave up my family, I gave up my children, and I came here. And he said, and then Krishna has given everything, and unlimitedly, so many children who never ask me for anything, that are only coming to serve. And that was the mood. Our benediction was Srila Prabhupada, and we could not ask for anything further. So I want to thank you very much. I think the Prachetas, this chapter is very instructive, and the next few verses are really dynamic. There is something we can honestly look into, and we can taste it. You know, it's there. It's not theoretical. So it's a wonderful chapter. Srimad Bhagavatam has been described by one devotee as a blueprint for human life. So here's what you do. If, here's what you do. And it's all aimed at taking us back to Godhead. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.